This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Live off the record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by Burger King, Royal Fidelity Bank and Trust, Royal Star Assurance, BTC, and AWOCX.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon when there is, as they say, so much happening in our world and in our country. So we are happy to have you join us today. I have with me today Mrs. Leslie Archer, who is a policy fellow in the Government and Public Policy Institute. Welcome, Leslie.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Good afternoon, Bahamas.
So if you want to give us a call at all today, ladies and gentlemen, the numbers are 323-6232. Or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show, or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. So, of course, as you know, the Provost Marshal, Commissioner of Police, Paul Rhodes, issued two proclamations today, one having to do with the prorogation of Parliament, and then another one providing for the beginning of the next parliament, slated now for Friday, 22nd of September. Exciting times indeed in the country, right? So, first of all, today's wonderful events began with what was supposed to be the hosting of an open parliament. Was supposed to be hosted today. The tents were all set up chairs were set up for the people to gather in the square and have open parliament with the Speaker of the House presiding. I have a friend of mine who called me or actually sent me a text and asked me what I thought of this open Parliament. What did I think of it? Now, I must confess that my response was not very kind in terms of it of describing it. But after, you know, I wanted to give him some guidance on it, I asked him, what does the Parliament do? What does the Parliament do, actually? And he said, yeah, the Parliament is where we pass laws. I said, okay, we pass laws in the Parliament. I said, can an open Parliament pass a law? He said, no. I said, okay, then. I said, so he said, are you saying that this notion of an open parliament is nonsense, as in it doesn't, there's no laws governing it, or nobody does it. And I said, there's both, actually. I said, but the notion of open parliament, if you go online, you'll see that there are people, not parliament, there are people who might have what they call an open parliament, as in using the terminology to suggest that people gather in a kind of format for parliament. But can you have an open parliament in the Bahamas' context? Okay, that's the question. Well, in the first instance, what we should do is we should go to our constitution, right? And ask the question, because, I mean, remember the words, you know, if you are starting a company in the Bahamas, you cannot use the word bank, insurance, and those kinds of things without the permission of the regulators, the licensors. You can't. There's a reason for that, because you don't want to give the impression that you, who may not be a bank, has the permission of these regulators to be a bank and therefore misrepresent yourself to the public as an institution offering such a service. So you can use parliament, I suppose, if you want, but open parliament presided over by the Speaker of the Parliament of the Bahamas, let's see if that is even conceivable under our law. Now, there is no law in the Bahamas higher than the law, the Constitution of the Bahamas. So let's look at parliament. So let's look at this word parliament, this term parliament that we use, and see if we can have an open parliament. But fortunately for us, in Chapter 5 of the Constitution, which talks about parliament, Part 1 of the Constitution, in Article 38 of the Constitution, here is what it says. Here's what it says. There shall be a parliament of the Bahamas, which shall consist of Her Majesty, a Senate, and a House of Assembly. So to have a parliament, it has to include Her Majesty, the Queen of England, who happens also to be the Queen of the Bahamas. You get mad if you want about whether you keep her or not, but she is a part of our parliament, as was included by the founding fathers of our nation, Sir Lyndon Pinlins, Arahan, and all of them who were there at the time putting this together, wrote and adopted these words. There shall be a parliament of the Bahamas, which shall consist of Her Majesty. So these national, these nation builders, these nationalists, these men and women who put their lives on the line and who sacrificed for us, and who we now put on our dollar bills and our $5 bills and $20 bills, these men put in this your constitution that the Parliament of the Bahamas shall consist of Her Majesty, a Senate, and a House of Assembly. Now, since we are now dealing with the open parliament, which had nothing to do with the Senate, because the Speaker doesn't preside over the Senate, he presides over the House of Assembly, we then need to go to the section of the Constitution that deals with the House of Assembly to see if it could give us some guidance on such a thing as a open parliament. That would be Part 3 of the Constitution under Article 46. It says, the House of Assembly, so now remember, the parliament consists of the Her Majesty. We know who that is. She has a representative here in the Governor General. The Senate, so we know who they are. And then the House of Assembly. The Constitution says, the House of Assembly shall consist of 38 members. Now, there are 389,000 people in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. 389,000. The Constitution says the House of Assembly shall consist of 30 members or such greater number, we have one more such number now, of members as may be specified by a made by the Governor General in accordance with the provision of Article 70 of this Constitution. Okay? So if you convene a parliament, if you convene the House of Assembly, it can only be really truly convened if you are convening its 38 or more members. And those members, their qualifications are there. They have to be elected as prescribed by the law and so forth and so forth and so forth. Okay, so gathering people in the House of Assembly or in the space or near the House of Assembly, according to the Constitution, doesn't constitute a sitting of the House of Assembly, because the sitting has to be of its members. All right, so let's look further and see something about the procedures of the House of Assembly. Okay. It says, subject to the provisions of this Constitution, Parliament may make laws for the peace, order, and good governance of the Bahamas. So the responsibility of Parliament, the role of Parliament, is to make laws. So if you gather people in the square in what is called an open Parliament, can they pass a law? Well, the only people who can vote in the parliament are the members of the parliament. And in the case of the House of Assembly, they have to be the 39 duly elected members of the House of Assembly. So there is nothing of any substance that could be binding on the country that can be achieved by any session of parliament being convened that doesn't include its members. And even in respect of its members, if a quorum of the parliament does not exist, the parliament itself cannot operate. Because it says in Article 57, if at any time during a sitting of either house objection is taken by a member that there is not a quorum present, and after such interval as may be prescribed by the rules of procedure of the house, the person presiding ascertains that there is not a quorum, he shall thereupon adjourn the house. So my friend asked me, so can the speaker hold an open parliament? I said to him, listen, the Constitution or no law in the Bahamas says the speaker shall not call people to any place and say that he is holding an open parliament. I know of no rule that says the speaker can't do that. But just because the speaker does that, doesn't mean a session of parliament as prescribed in the Constitution is being held. Because the parliament is convened, a session of parliament is convened in such a place and at such a time as is provided by the Governor General of the Bahamas. Remember, when the House is sitting, the Speaker adjourns the House on motion. The Speaker adjourns the House on motion. Somebody moves for adjournment. Somebody seconds that that motion, and then a vote is taken for adjournment. So the speaker doesn't just up and adjourn the House of Speakers, you know, like that. It's often by vote. Okay? And so, again, open parliament, you could do whatever you want to do in the Bahamas, provided that you're not breaking the law. But nothing, you know, doesn't mean in the instance of an open parliament that you are in fact having parliament. All right, Leslie, any comments?
Hi, Mr. Lang, again, and Radio Lang of the Bahamas. Yes, I feel as though your introductory explanation is very much, it very much reminds me of when people refer to the law and the spirit of the law, in the sense that you went exactly into detail about what a parliament is or whether or not this is possible, you know, legally, accurately, maybe idiomatically in terms of the language of it. And then in contrast, the spirit of what, when I read the news articles that the speaker was mentioned in about it, is a place where to encourage more public participation and a sense of responsibility, a sense of a voice for the marginalized, maybe. So I feel that there's just that, those parallel dynamics. If you look at the law and the spirit of the law, or the parliament and the spirit of what he was trying to create, definitely we understand it. I personally was very excited about it. Thank you so much for clarifying all the legality terms, but just that there was a space where I felt that I could just go and write and express, and perhaps there is in the government, I just don't want to go there. But the fact that this was a place that was created for the people to go and voice, like, I personally was enthused. I was actually even going to write many speeches for persons if they had their issue that they wanted to present and needed help writing. Like, I was going to help people write just because I was excited that something like this was happening in our country. In terms of that space for the voice of the people, where you even have a member of the government, well, a political party member who is in a position of political influence currently reaching out to the public, that
Except in his instance, he's not a party member any longer. He left.
Right. So I said I changed my language. I did say a political person, woman in place. So I did correct that. And I mean, you know, I also kind of looked up the definition of parliament after you stated it. And Google has two definitions. It has the one that you mentioned, the highest legislature, et cetera. And then it has this one that it's a rare use of the word, but it also said a group of rooks or owls. And I looked up the term rooks, and rooks means swindlers. So the alternative rare term of parliament means a group of swindlers or owls, which is a interesting contrast, but even a play on words in that sense that there's a space where people from the public can come who think they're wise, because you know a lot of people who comment in and they give you a perspective and opinion about politics, you know, and they say, well, you would probably be a one person say, well, you get in there, you think you can make a difference, you try, you know, they want to tell you what to do.
But yes, the thing though, I mean.
So I mean, I say he could be. There could be a play in the words if you look at he's doing.
But I understand.
If he really wanted it.
I understand.
I was excited.
I understand that, but here's what I want to do today, in giving the information that I gave, which is a civics lesson, and quite frankly, the distinction between the law and spirit in this instance is not so clear, because there is not in this instance. The Constitution is very clear on what it is seeking to achieve in the organizing of the parliament, okay, in this respect, okay? I had to say this to them. I had to help my friend with this too. You know, and I really regret that we are doing such an inadequate job at providing the foundations and rationale for the institutions that exist in our country, because it causes people to not be able to put into perspective what it is. Now, you can change, no difficulty with that, but at least understand the rationale. It has been agreed almost universally that we cannot govern ourselves by what we call mass or mob rule. It is inconceivable that you could convene 100,000 Bahamian adults anywhere and productively and functionally operate and get things done on behalf of the country, right? And I'm going to qualify that in a minute. So I'm talking about this as a matter of history. So what has been agreed in these democracies is that the people who hold the sovereign power, all the power is resident in the people, that the people will apportion some of that power to people to represent them of the business of the state. That is the business that relates to all the people, not just a few of us. So some of that power is given to the executive. In our context, that's the cabinet. Some of that power is given to the legislature. In our context, that's the Senate and the House of Assembly. Some of that power is given to the judiciary. Okay, and that's our courts. And so in the spirit of the Constitution, it is saying, in order to properly function and have an orderly conduct of affairs of the country so as to avoid mob rule, this apportionment takes place. And it therefore defines the roles of the groupings to whom the power is apportioned. One of those is the parliament. So the parliament's, the people have voted for their representatives to go and represent them in the parliament. Okay, now, a speaker can, as I indicated, do these things that are not against the law, but if you are using your title as speaker, that title is derived and position derived by virtue of what? The Constitution. How do you then hold a title given and vested to you by legality in the Constitution and then turn around and decide I'm going to use it for non-constitutional things? There is a place in our world for all. So if the speaker or the deputy speaker or a member of parliament is interested in convening masses of people in this country, there is nothing wrong with that. Nothing whatsoever. There are ways to do that, and the speaker doesn't even have to do that in his title. He is a member of parliament. He can do that. He can go to the commissioner and say to the commissioner, I'd like to have a meeting in the square, and I'd like to call people so that they can have their say about the things that's happening in the country. My God, these days we have the internet. More things are being accomplished in terms of input and voicing by people over the internet than by any single held meeting anywhere in the world.
So you're saying that the only problem with is his use of the word parliament?
First of all.
So what's different from what he was
planning? Hold on. Don't forget where I started this now. Trivago Lang didn't generate a confusion about the parliament. I had a number of people text me. I only isolated a friend about this notion So I'm explaining the notion. So I'm saying that I'm helping people understand what our parliament is. Now, when you were given an explanation, you said he might have been using a play on words. And you
couldn't. No, I don't think he was. I'm just saying it could be done that way. Like somebody could.
Exactly. But that was just me. You're right. It could be done that way. It is done that way. I mean, if you go online, if you go Google search, you will see there's such a thing as open parliament being held by people. That's what I started off by saying.
Right. People, and I just said it's funny that it means a group of swindlers or owls. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Right.
You probably could have both of them presented, right?
Right. Exactly. Right.
People who think they're owls, really.
But I'm saying that in this instance, the speaker, clothed in his officialdom, was doing this. And so my suggestion is, I don't think that any law prohibits Mr. Howson Moultrie from doing what he is doing, but in the name of the Parliament of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, over which he presides as Speaker in the House of Assembly, I think there's a challenge there. I think that's the problem. And I'm only wanting to be, for people to be clear on the Parliament as prescribed in the Constitution and the concept of a Parliament as provided for in the exercise conducted or sought to be conducted by Mr. Moultrie.
Okay. To change how he did what he did, if he was going to still do it.
Sure. I mean, you know.
Does that speak to actually the level of knowledge about the government structure and organization and constitution that persons who enter politics have? I mean, I certainly know that it speaks that me as a layperson, I don't know much. And I didn't get a civics course in school. So they used to teach that in Government High or something when my parents or grandparents were younger, but I didn't receive that information. But do you think generally persons in politics do not know all of this structure and procedure or how to go about doing what they need to do?
I think the reality is that some of them don't. That's true. I think that that's true. But I also think that some people don't care. I think that some people in pursuit of their own agenda don't mind flirting with, you know.
Taking risk?
I think that's possible, you know.
Do you think are they newer persons or seasoned?
Well, I think it could be both. But generally speaking, you rarely find very new people who are prepared to buck up into the system like that. That's not, you know, that doesn't mean they won't cross party lines or won't defy their parties, as we have seen of late. But in terms of saying, I'm going to test the norms of the parliament, the constitution, new people don't tend to do that. You know what I mean? And certainly younger people don't tend to do it.
That's a revolutionary act, or a hint of a revolutionary act, operate on the margins like that.
And to be honest with you, I can tell you, I don't think there's been a Speaker of the House of Assembly who has tested the bounds of the rules of the House more than Mr. Moultrie has.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that as a bad thing or a good thing. I'm just saying that as a matter of my own recollection of our history.
Yeah, he's definitely a name that I'm going to remember. Him and a few others who have held their ground. We've seen some interesting things this election season. Not election season. What do you call it, this government period?
Well, I mean, it's...
I mean, this whole, like, this last... It's from midterm, and is like the amount of changes that have happened, the amount of resignations, the amount of persons rebelling against what may be considered set norms.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that is common or new? And I say that I've been out of the country for almost 10 years, so I wasn't keeping up to date with politics like that.
Well, I thought that
would have been something that seems to be like of this new period.
Well, let's scan history, because this is a very important question you raised, because this is one of the things I said is a lot of times as a context issue for particularly young people in their assessment of what we've done. Remember, Sir Lyndon and his group came to power in 1967. Remember that?
Yes.
Okay. By 1972, there was a group called the Dissident Eight. 1970 brought it to us, Sir Cecil Wallace Whitfield, Maurice Moore, Ghana Lavarity, and all of those people who eventually came to form the Free National Movement.
Mr. Lang, didn't we have something about some famous five or something?
No, it's the Dissident Eight.
No, I mean something with Andre Rollins, I think.
No, I'm not aware of that. But I'm saying the more prominent situation we had.
Educate me.
The more prominent situation we had was with these successor Wallace Whitfield was in the first cabinet of the Bahamas and resigned, left the PLP in opposition to the present Prime Minister of the Bahamas. This was just, we hadn't achieved independence yet.
So this was major, because you were going in like...
This was how we got our two-party system. Okay? And so I'm saying, in those early days, those young men took the step of having such a significant fracture. So no, it is not unique in our history for these kinds of things. We also had in Arlington Butler, who was Speaker of the House of Assembly, also who had some issues with Sir Lyndon and those, and particularly took stances also, right? If you followed the parliament when Kendall, Dr. Kendall...
Major, right?
Hmm? Somebody going to text me. Anyway.
I'm Googling it now. It's a Dr. Yeah. Kendall Major.
Major, that's right. Dr. Kendall Major. He had on occasions to buck with his party. Alvin Ingram on occasions had cause to do so from time to time. So it's not unique, but I don't think anybody has taken it to the place where Mr. Moultrie has. We have to take a break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host, here with Mrs. Leslie Archer of the Government Public Policy Institute. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We have lots to say today. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm.
Summer is heating up, and Burger King Nassau is bringing the flavor. Introducing our all-new take on a classic chicken sandwich, the Barbecue Swiss Crispy King. Our new sandwich is full of smoky and tangy flavor and features our crispy chicken patty with tangy chipotle sauce, onion rings, bacon, Swiss cheese, lettuce, and tomato, plus a soft potato bun. The new Barbecue Swiss Crispy King chicken sandwich with fries and a Pepsi is a summer treat you will love to eat, but only available for a limited time and only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny Moe's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pulled up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep, sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of...
You got to go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy.
Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails. And that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Enjoy an elevated mobile experience with BTC giving you
unlimited talk for the best conversations,
unlimited data for all your online fun,
and unlimited roaming to stay connected while overseas.
For just $50 per line.
Unlock unlimited mobile talk, data, and roaming when you sign up for BTC Superfast Fiber Internet with speed starting at 100 megabits per second. Enjoy more great savings and value. Upgrade or sign up today. Visit any BTC store or btcbahamas.com. Conditions apply.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises customers and residents of Corridor Avenue between Market Street and Blue Hill Road that the corporation will be carrying out improvement works for 15 days from August 18, 2021 to September 6, 2021 from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily. As a result, customers should note that they may experience some interruption in water supply, and residents and the general public should note that there will be interruptions in traffic flow around the work area daily, resulting in traffic diversion. Apologizes for any inconvenience caused as they work to improve their level of service.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Line, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I'm here with Mrs. Leslie Archer of the Government and Public Policy Institute. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796. We're talking about the events of today. We haven't gotten to all of them yet. We've really been talking about the notion of an open parliament as was prescribed by the of the House. Somebody sent a text here that it takes me to a place I wanted to go to, but I'm happy that this person has taken us there. It says, Mr. Lang, it is, or that some young people might not know better. The greater concern is that the speaker knows better. He is making a mockery of the system. Sadly, the PM might be unable to do anything about him at this time. Lastly, where has the speaker been over the last 20 years? The executive had been controlling the ebb and flow of parliament for many years. And that alludes to something that is of concern to me, is that, quite frankly, I believe that the speaker knows better. And that I think that in all of the slight that he feels by the way he thinks he's been handled, that some of this is for that purpose, because largely the question becomes one of what gets aided, what gets benefited in this. I know this notion of having a voice and somebody giving me a voice, etc. But quite frankly, I mean, I don't buy that. I don't buy that in the modern world in which we live, because anyone today who wants a voice in this country, who wants to speak, has multiple avenues, especially if you have something meaningful to say. There are lots of avenues for which to have that done. So let's take this to its final end. Let's suppose 100,000 people responded to the speaker's call. What would have happened there on Russell Square? What might have been the turnout, the situation, the order? How might their voices have been heard, other than somebody has a big picture of a big crowd and get to say, see what the speaker did? Because we know people can speak in the Bahamas during an election real soon. But beyond that, there are still opportunities. So convening people for the purpose of having them speak or listening to you is not a rare event in the Bahamas. It's something that happens. And we call them rallies and so forth and so forth. So I'm not opposed to that.
No, lots you of people. Mr. Lang, come on. You don't have the common man speaking at rallies. What I understand more too.
First of all, yes, you do. Because all rallies in the country aren't called by political parties. Okay? I have relatives who are very active and out there and have led scores of people to Rawson Square. And they are out there. They have voices on the internet with hundreds and thousands of people who listen to them. No, all rallies in the Bahamas. A rally isn't a political event only hosted by a political party. That's the mistake we make. Women have had rallies in this country for breast cancer, these kinds of things. And they have gone and spoken, common people. I spoke at a rally in Rawson Square. I was never a member of parliament. Anything, all I was a youth director of a church in Freeport. So again, it is a question of historical context. It's a question of understanding. And this is one of the reasons why I try to take the time on these shows to do what I do, because I understand. I was there being a young person with less than adequate awareness of the scope of history in the country. So I could comment with that isolated knowledge or compartmentalized knowledge. And then others would say to me, but Shivago, did you look at this? Did you consider that, et cetera? Okay, and so we have institutions and systems for a reason in our country. It is to promote peace and good order as the Constitution says. That's the whole point of it. And so, again, can you convene people in the country to speak, to share, to listen? Yes, you can. There's a place for that. There's a way to do that. But if you are going to do that in the name of a post you hold, it should be done in a way that reflects the nature of the post. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Lang, I don't know if you can hear me because I know it was kind of low. Can you hear me?
I can. You were great when you first started. I'm not sure what happened. You went lower.
All right, thanks. Well, I keep my mouth to the phone. And I may kind of, you'll have to put the phone to my ass. Thanks so much, John. Good afternoon, Bahamas, and to your guest host. I'm not sure. I didn't get a name. But, Mr. Lang, I wanted to say, it appears that you're being unfair because the statement, I think that you, to be fair, you should have at least invited Mr. Moultrie to come and say his point of view so that he could explain it. I think you're oversimplifying something. You're being so literal on the topic. You know, if whether it was rally, as the lady suggested, then clearly she didn't mean any kind of rally. She was speaking political rally. You know, and what is happening, Mr. Moultrie had some issues. And yeah, we understand he made self-preservation. But let's give him the credit for what is due. You brought up Mr. Ingram and what Mr. Major did. They didn't do nothing significant. Wouldn't even bring them up. You know, they were along party lines.
Can I ask you a question?
Even if it's selfish motive, definitely open the floor for the Bahamian public.
Okay, I also want to add,
it appears that if you ain't putting forth something, and someone else putting forth something, you seem to not be satisfied that, and so you come at the person, or you seem to undermine what they're doing or saying. And I think that's unfair. That's what is coming across to me. Let me not say you're doing it. That's how it's coming across. And okay. I find that to be very unfair.
Okay. Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever heard me speak of Dr. Minnis on this show?
Speak on him?
Yeah, like I criticized anything he's done on this show.
I think I've heard, not him, I've seen you, I think, and you're F&M, but I found that you were fair with the F&M. You criticized the F&M.
Yeah, but no, but that's not the point I want to make. I want to ask you though, did you ask me to call those people to come on to defend themselves when I was criticizing them?
No, I can't recall any time you criticize them. I'm talking about this exercise here. I know many things can take the call, but I'm saying this
The only point I make to you is we on these shows comment on many things about many people, and we don't necessarily have them on the show at the time to do so. If the speaker wants to come on the show, I'm happy to entertain the speaker, as I have before. So your suggestion that I'm being unfair, I hear you. That's your view. No problem. Thank you very much. I don't know how to be unfair about giving people the information about a question that was put to me about what is an open parliament or not. You seem to forget that I was responding to a question about it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to take a break for news. So when we come back, we will take up some more discussion along this line. I'm here with Mrs. Leslie Archer. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shavago Lang. We'll be back after this break.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Live. I'm Shavago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I'm here with Mrs. Leslie Archer of the Government and Public Policy Institute. We were talking about the events of the day, in particular surrounding the Parliament of the Bahamas, its prorogation, and the open Parliament that the Speaker of the House was having. Let me say something this is germane to some comments we hear on these shows a lot. So the gentleman who called a while ago says, when somebody says something to me or says something that I don't agree with, that I don't accept what they say. Well, yes, of course. If I don't agree with something, I don't agree with it. You call the show. You don't agree with me. You are forceful and direct and articulate in expressing your point of view. And I tried even on occasions to kind of inject, but you kept saying what you're saying forcefully. So you don't agree with me, and you get to be able to say what you want to say and tell people what I am and not. And I'm not able as a talk show host to do the same thing. Let me explain something to you. Talk show hosts are not judges. We're not judges. We're not moderators. We're not facilitators. We're hosts of opinionated shows. All right. So if I disagree with you, of course I'm going to tell you I disagree with you. And I'm going to be forceful sometimes when I disagree with you because I think I know better. I'm going to say so. If you are able to dislodge me of my point of view because you have a correct and factual or better argument, then God bless you. Welcome, Leslie, again.
Hi.
Okay, so today, the commissioner of police, Marshall, prorogued the House. And I want people to be aware who may not understand that the prorogation of the House means that you end a legislative session, right? Which you when the speech from the throne was read, that on that day, that was the beginning of the new parliament, and that started a new session of parliament. So a session of parliament really tends to relate to the government's legislative agenda for a period. When the government feels like it has ended its legislative period, the Prime Minister will advise the Governor General to prorogue the House, and then you'll see the Commissioner of Police do what he did. And that is supposed to end the parliamentary session. In essence, what that means is that everything that is before the House at that time, whether a bill is in first reading or second reading or third reading or some resolution is before the parliament or something, all of that comes to an end at the prorogation of parliament. That is different than the dissolution of parliament. The dissolution of parliament ends the parliament itself, meaning those people who are members of parliament cease to be members of parliament at that time. And all that is left really is a cabinet that serves as a kind of caretaker government in between the 90 days before and 90 days in which an election is to be called on, you have writs of return of those elections. But so this is a prorogation. And so we saw that the House was prorogued. The commissioner of police said that that the House would be reconvened. That will begin a new session on the 22nd of September. He said Friday, but I'm looking at the calendar. And the calendar tells me that the 22nd of September is a Wednesday, not a Friday. Now, the commissioner was reading, so presumably whoever gave him the document to read put on the document something that is now erroneous as to the date. Okay? But in any way, yes, ma'am.
I have questions. Propagation. How often can this occur? Like, how often can the Prime Minister or the Governor General do this to a Parliament session? That's the first question. I also want to know what was on the agenda and wasn't addressed. What things were left off or what things were not handled that were supposed to be handled or that were anticipated to be addressed, that would have been addressed, that were dismissed.
The first question was, how often can the Governor General prorogue the House?
Yes.
Well, as often as the Prime Minister, as often as a session is convened, and then the Prime Minister asks for him to prorogue it.
No limit.
Okay. No. So if in 5 years he decides, you know, okay, I'm going to do a parliamentary session every 6 months, every 3 months, that's possible. What was left, the only substantive thing I'm aware of, I'm not agenda, so the only substantive thing I know, remember, there was put before the House a bill to replace the need to use the emergency powers order, right? The emergency powers that is invoked in the Constitution. So I know that bill was before the Parliament. So,
does that also mean that, I know that the Senate addresses stuff as items as well that goes before Parliament, I think. Does that mean that whatever the Senate was addressing is also washed away?
Well, the Parliament is the Parliament, right? And so that's House Number 70 and the Senate.
Okay.
And right?
Does that mean that Speaker Moultrie's open Parliament, quote unquote, open Parliament, can still happen between now and September 22nd? Where is that?
But like I said, there's nothing that stops Mr. Moultrie from calling a meeting if he has the approval of the Commissioner of Police to hold a meeting in the square. He has to have a permit like everybody else, and calling it an open Parliament. There's nothing that stops him from doing that.
So then,
other than not getting permission to do it.
Why was Parliament prorogued then? Like, why? If it's just going to be...
Why was prorogued?
Yeah.
That's a very good question. By the way, I was talking about Warren Lavardy. I call him Garnet Lavardy, but it's Warren Lavardy, okay? And that's one of his relatives who wanted me to correct that. And I'm glad. Thank you. You know, I mean, I don't know the government of the Bahamas, the Prime Minister of the Bahamas, you know, what is in his heart and mind to do so. I really can't say. I mean, I don't know.
Could Parliament have been stopped or just paused? I think this is possible for it to just have been, because this was done already, right? Paused and just reconvened for September. Like, it did not have to be in the ways that this pause could have happened, right?
Well, there's two things. The Parliament can be adjourned, okay? It can be adjourned. And so the Parliament adjourns to another date. The Parliament can be probed to another day, and then it is dissolved without any date. So it's either adjournment or prorogation. The prime minister, if he decides, listen, my legislative business is done, and I'm going to come and have a new legislative agenda, he will prorogue the House. Now, quite frankly, to me, like, this stuff is political checkers. Right? This is political checkers. Today, I don't even call it chess. This is political checkers. Today, by proroguing the House, one of the speaker's men got eaten.
Is this a cost? How much is this costing the Bahamian taxpayers?
There's no cost outside of the cost of having
media.
And so unless you have an election, the cost remains the same. So there's no cost associated with this. Right? I think that the idea here is it was a kind of, well, it certainly did disrupt what the speaker was doing. That happened. I don't know the veracity of it, but I heard of some commotion related to trying to move the speaker, but I don't know that to be true. But that did interrupt the speaker's thing. And certainly now it is conceivable, you know, that any kind of developments could happen between now and September 22nd that trumps even the reconvening of parliament.
Okay. Do you know what I wonder, Mr. Lang? I wonder if there was a stronger opposition in parliament, numbers wise, would there be internal in the leading
only
opposition. Wouldn't they be forced to stick together more? You mean
stronger in terms of numbers?
Yes, like if they really feel the opposition, because there really wasn't much of an opposition to really challenge whatever the prime minister put forth. But I mean, did that space present an opportunity for internal conflict to rise, since in giving lack of external conflict? Is that possible?
The truth of the matter is the only way an opposition has any strength if it has a minority, and it must, because that's why it's an opposition, is if there are sufficient numbers in the governing party side that could and might vote with the opposition. That's the only way to make them stronger in terms of being material to the developments and the results and decisions in parliament. Okay? Your voice could be strong and people outside there could be screaming in support of you as an opposition. But in point of fact, in terms of the vote, in terms of what decisions get made in parliament, that's a matter of numbers. And if an opposition would have any kind of real say in that way, it would have to be that members of the governing side are willing to vote against the governing side and with the opposition in that regard. And in which case, the government might not be the government, because they could vote and the opposition could end up the majority and you could change the government that way.
Really?
Yeah, of course. If enough members on the government side wanted to vote with the opposition side, they could hold a vote of no confidence in the prime minister. Mind you, the prime minister would still have a period of time in which he could call elections, so he could trump them that way. But that could be very disruptive to a government, because if a government brings a bill to parliament and loses the vote, the tradition in the Westminster system is that you go to an election.
Oh, wow.
Because you can't lose a vote. I mean, you're the government and you're losing a vote? That's just unheard of. We have a number of texts here I want to read. Text says, great show as usual. That call is incorrect. You may be many things, but you being biased is unbiased and also non-judgmental. Thank you. but not when it comes to Papa. All of us give Papa a pass because that's Papa. He deserves a bye. I ain't gonna lie to you. Yeah. You never had time trying to get me to be too hard on my mentor. That'd be very difficult. I ain't gonna lie. This text says, good afternoon, Mrs. Don't know if you are taking text on your phone today, but it seems to me that some of the young people today do not like discipline. Why would your guest think it was a good thing for Mr. Moultrie to do what he is doing? He is wrong and he knows he's wrong, but it is pure politics, especially at this time. I am so disgusted. I know at the time in this country when the PLP was in power that the opposition had to go outside of the country to get a message to the public, and you could not even open your mouth to say who you were. Mr. Lang, you would be victimized. This is no joke. Mr. Lang, some of us live this. Thanks for reading my text. Mr. Lang, I don't know why the phone does this, but the text should read, good afternoon, Mr. Lang, and it should say sorry about the mistake. Okay, I got you. Well, I think, like many, many, many people in the country, Lesby appreciates that there are folk who feel and want to have some real say in the country. And the notion of being able to have that say before Parliament, I must admit, would be an attractive notion for anyone. But that's just me, Lesby, you can speak for yourself.
I stand by my position. I think it's okay. I don't know, and I clarified saying that I don't actually know the political. You gave me the legal, you know, straightforward explanation of what is possible or what should happen, it shouldn't happen. But this idea and me speaking in the spirit of that idea, definitely a space where people could feel heard, and that's encouraged and publicized by politicians actively in their work. Definitely. I mean, yes. And of course, I would expect people to be disgusted. I would expect some people to consider it an act of rebellion. But I mean, operating on the margins and the edges and the borders is where revolutionary change occurs. You know, it doesn't occur once you have the system right and you operate in the system right, great. But if the system isn't going right or things can be done better and you have to take that risk to get it to the next step, to a better place, then yeah, some people will take the risk.
I agree with you. If your system isn't working, if things aren't working, you might want to break it and so forth. But I mean, somebody rightly asked. For 20 years, we've operated this way and Mr. Moultrie was around. What is the system called for? The system calls for the passage of legislation. What is there about the system that doesn't prevent legislation from be passed, even if you're the presiding speaker? Like, what's broken? At least let's know what's broken. What's broken? What is broken?
Yeah,
because system failure is not the same as a broken fingernail. Okay, a system failure is like your circulatory system has issues, your skeletal system has issue. What's broken?
Yeah, seems like there's like a problem, or maybe there's an issue with having to be, if you have to be a neutral person and you really want to have a voice and not be neutral.
Don't be speaker.
So from that perspective.
Yeah, don't be speaker. Tell them, listen, I'm sick of being speaker. I have things I want to say, things I want to push and advocate for. I don't be speaker, because your role as speaker is to preside over the House for its good order and for the assurance that members of the opposition will be able to have their say and not be overrun by the majority in the House, and then to facilitate the business of the House. If you want to be an active part of the legislation, the parliamentary process, to resign as speaker, let them have it every single day of your life. Go out there and advocate. Go out there and tell the people, call the people together, assemble the people, and go and push. That's the place to do it.
No, well, you know, you lose and you do things with influence. And a position like that is a place of influence from without.
But you know, You know, you hit on a very good point. I'm glad that you did. So you're telling me that in order to have the influence I have to have, I have to be in a position. Okay. Well, that's interesting, because Sir Lyndon Pinckney, before he became premier, had to go and convince people to vote for them so he could become premier. He didn't have the position. What he then got the position to do was to do the things the position called for. And eventually, those same people voted him out. Eventually. Mr. Ingram had to then go out there with his team and convince the people, without a position, to vote him in. He even resigned a position and took up the leadership of the opposition and in doing that. So give you influence, for sure, but leadership influence comes from the veracity of your case. Put to people, what position did Martin Luther King have? Other than, I am a preacher and I have a moral message for a people about their treatment of another group of people. So we have to decide what it is that is necessary for us to achieve the ends that we want to achieve. And I suggest that you are right, actually, that far more people think that they are useless without a position because maybe in truth, their leadership can't bring them into any influence.
Okay, I have to drink a cup of tea on that.
This text says, blessings, my brothers. I'm sorry. This is text. Says, good afternoon. What's happening downtown now? Freeport is calling. Say they went back to the House of Assembly. Now what's going on? They went back to the House of Assembly. I don't know. I honestly don't see new going on. Another. So maybe the news will tell us a little later on. We have another text here, says, Mr. Lang, good day. When the House meets again, can the House elect a new speaker? No. No, because the speaker has not resigned. The speaker has not been removed. Prorogation does not end the position of the speaker or of a member of parliament. So no, there's not the expectation that there'll be any vote for any new speaker. We didn't mean Kendall Isaacs, we meant Kendall Major. We meant Mr. Major. Do we have a call on the line? Go ahead, caller.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chicago.
Hi, yes, go ahead, sir.
And good afternoon, Ms. Archer. Firstly, Chicago, let me congratulate you on an excellent show today. Your guest has been asking some very poignant, important questions. I congratulate her for her mindset, her trend of thought, and also her intellect is very important. There are three quick points here, Chicago, I'm going to point out. Firstly, what you are presenting here today is something that I've always advocated. Well, I have been advocating for quite some time to understand the systems of governance that we have in this country. And unfortunately, many of our persons do not, because they do not for the lack of not wanting to, but because it isn't taught. And I believe being taught from young about it, about how our government operates in different branches, it then gives you a deeper appreciation on how we are to tax our parliamentarians and those who are in power over us to do a much better job than what we than what they're doing today. Also, to have an understanding that there are also criteria that perhaps the parliamentarians cannot do. But to understand the criteria is very important. I think what you're doing today basically opens a lot of our eyes and also gives us a deeper understanding on some of the notions that we do have and also learn some of the new notions that we did not have. So I congratulate you on that. My second point, Ms. Archer, I congratulate you for also pushing that envelope. That envelope is to also challenge those things to create a revolution on what is that could be formed for what we can see up ahead. The youth of the new millennials may not necessarily stand or sit here and accept a lot of the mediocrity that we are, as the older generation have been accepting. And I applaud you for pushing and asking those questions to push the envelope. Whereas that revolutionary change that you foresee can also come forward. You talk about the edges and all that stuff. We need to push the envelope. We need to push the edges to see whether we can change things finally that benefits not just the Bahamas, but the Bahamian people going forward. And I applaud your mindset. You impressed me with the questions you're asking. Lastly, I think it's so important, Shivago, that we do find scholars who can speak to the Constitution, who would like to see a revolutionary change in the way things are done in this country. We need to get these people together and begin to teach our people on how to be responsible, on how to, in their current position as citizens, as well as leaders, potential leaders going forward. In order for us to be those leaders, we must know the systems that we are operating under and how we can perhaps make the changes to new systems that is necessary to bring about the changes that we would like to see going forward. So I congratulate you for an excellent show today. Thank you so much, Shivago, for taking my call. God bless you all.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you for calling. We appreciate you calling. Listen, let me tell you all something. Last week, I hired her. And I hired her because of what she demonstrated when I talked to her. And she'll tell you.
If you'd like to make a call.
She does challenge the GDPI or not. And that's what has to happen. And so all that we have to seek to do is to work together to make sure that we, one, understand where we are and why we are, and then think about where we want to be and what it is that we may have to do. There is no question in my mind we can hardly break some eggs to get the Bahamas better. There's no question in my mind. And frankly, I don't believe perhaps it's going to be that some of us in our generation will break them eggs. So we just have to ready and prepare and ensure as best we can that those who may be in a position one day to do so are able to do so, and Leslie and those can do it. She did tell you, I tell her every day, it's your job. Some of us, we didn't break as much as we could break. Right? We have some text here says, what was the purpose? Oh, yes, go ahead, Leslie.
I wanted to say thank you to the caller, but I also wanted to communicate a struggle for your comment, Terry, or feedback. Mm-hmm. I feel like that any nation needs to have, and that it needs to be done through a certain degree of revolutionary act or empowerment or courageousness. That I struggle personally with balancing pushing borders and making rash, careless, impatient, imprecise, and immature decisions that have really bad consequences and that don't get the end result anticipated. And I feel that what the caller said pointed out the gap that needs to be rectified in a youth-led movement, or in a youth, maybe this is just aligned to a part of growing up, and that is education. In the sense that you have, if there's a passion or a dream or a vision for change or an anger, a frustration that needs to be addressed, and you want to address it by shooting from 0 to 100 on the scale, but you don't have the knowledge to understand the system and the structure, to even if to identify the weak points or how best to break it or snap it, or, you know, don't. There's a saying, something a slave saying about using the master's tools to destroy the house. Mm. It's that gap that needs to be rectified in society when it comes to the knowledge and the education and understanding. And I'm not putting any blame. Certainly, it's the responsibility of the individual, but also there is a national problem that can help this nation advance to really be a place where we love to be at in terms of happiness, low crime levels, you know, the place that we could create it to be, where we are our best selves. Now that's what I got.
Your struggle is not new. This is all of our struggle over the course of human history. This, to make progress is required being just where you say you are, knowing what to do and how to do it. This is a human struggle. So welcome to life. Okay. You know, if you think about it this way, a surgeon in an emergency room is met with a trauma victim and is able, after seeing the brutality exacted on that person, to set about the task of trying to save that life. Now you have to ask yourself this question. Comes that surgery over days or over years? And if so, what of the people who preceded him or her to put them in a position to know and to be able to do what they did? One of our great challenges in this world is that we focus so much on the end. Let me give an example. Low crime, low unemployment, high growth. Those are easy things to focus on. To know that I want to be happy, that's easy. That's easy. The process of getting there is where the work is. And I submit, my son was being trained by a coach I had on this show, Coach Henfield, the other day. And he said something to me that has profoundly affected the way I approach things now. He says, you see, a lot of people focus on that rim and getting the ball in the rim. But he told my son, listen, the success at that rim happens right here where you get the mechanics right. He says, if you get the mechanics right, that rim will take care of itself. And some of us, we have to spend more time on the process, And once we get the process right, in the way we communicate with each other, in the way we handle our loved ones and friends and neighbors, in the way we handle our work, et cetera, when we get the process right, the end results will take care of themselves.
I need another cup of tea.
And so if we can get enough of us there, I think we will make enormous progress through yourselves, because it's that process that is so vital and so important.
The process of what? Revolutionary change?
Let me put it this way. The producer's telling me say that again. I'm not sure what it was I'm supposed to say again, because he said we sort of dropped off maybe a little. But what I'm saying is, to know that you want lower unemployment, higher growth, less poverty, more prosperity, that's easy stuff. Easy stuff to know a good state, that's nothing revolutionary about that. Now, how to get there, the process of getting there, that is where the work is. That's where the challenge is. So I'm saying that a Leslie or a Sean or a Troy, Sharon, who wants to look at the Bahamas and say, we need to get there. The work isn't in defining there. The work is mostly in how to get there from here. And so we don't focus on that process. Like the surgeon has to focus on, how do you get to a heart that is diseased and now having blockage in the artery? He has to work his way through the chest and has to know how to do that with the least damage done. So he knows, I can't do a revolutionary move right here. I have to do this with the kind of precision that makes this work. Now, a revolutionary move came when someone challenged this notion that prevailed in medicine for a long time. Do not touch the heart. That was the rule. Don't touch the heart. And then someone said, yeah, but if I'm going to fix it, I have to touch it. And that was revolutionary. So it is necessary to know a process that would get you to your end goal. And this is where why we have competing sides in politics, generally speaking, because different people believe that there are different ways to get there. There's no, that's why young people sometimes have disputes with older people. They believe one way and the older people believe one way. And there has got to be a fight for the prevailing point of view, not a physical fight.
Thank you for the clarification and not a
physical fight. Yeah, not a physical fight. That ain't what that'd be helpful. Let me see. We have some more text here. Let me get to those so I don't deprive you of your say. This text says, hello, Chicago. What is the name of this young lady on your show? Leslie Archer is her name. Say, I agree, must spend more time on the process. Also important to enjoy the journey while focusing on the end result. Absolutely. Not only to enjoy the journey, but start, you know, it. What amazes me, Leslie, I would love to get your comments on this. What amazes me is, we want the Bahamas to be a place where there's less poverty, more employment, more growth, more, less crime and all that kind of stuff, because we think that will be good for people. But guess what we do? In the process of debating how to get there, we hate on the people who are going to benefit when we get there. Each other in the process of getting there. That makes sense?
Give me an example.
No, I'm saying, let me help you. You don't know. I'm sure you know that in the Bahamas, there are family members who don't talk to each other because of politics. I'm sure you know there are people who put nasty things out there on each other because of politics. I mean, think about it. We are saying we want to do this so we can make it good for the country. And then we turn around and be mashing up each other who are the country. That can't make sense, eh?
It's hard to navigate that, but I mean, some would say that's a human condition. And if some places can make it work even under those circumstances, then why?
But some may say unemployment is the human condition. But why are we trying to fix it? Why are we trying to fix poverty? It's a human condition. Jesus said, "The poor you will have with you always." Why are we trying to fix it? Because something is persistent doesn't mean we don't continue to fight to alleviate it. And just because something becomes characteristic of us as human beings don't mean we don't teach our children to try to avoid it, to undo it, if we can. So all you can do is put your good effort into it. But that means accepting that you would want to do something about it to begin with. Right?
And accepting that you may end up sacrificing all that you have for it. You know, You can't find something to die for. You know, I was trying to quote a song, but I can't remember the other line.
Yeah, it says if you don't find something.
Yeah, a collar. Yeah.
This text says, Mr. Lang, can you clarify whether the government can raise a vote of no confidence in the speaker to have him removed in the new session if the government does not go to the to an election before the new session begins? And what is the likelihood of them succeeding in having him removed? The government, anybody could raise a vote of no confidence in the speaker. The opposition wanted to, for sure, and the government may have wanted to. But here's the thing. You could take a vote of no confidence in the speaker. Don't mean he has to go. There seems to be nothing in the law, the Constitution, that says because of a note of vote of no confidence, he has to go. The law, the Constitution only prescribes a certain set of things that have to happen. Now, so you can do the no vote of no confidence. The only question is whether the speaker can leave and whether you're prepared to drag him out.
Go on.
No, you go, please.
Oh, no, I wanted to know just the other side of that question is asking, is there a way to have the speaker removed? What he wants to know.
Yeah, go to election. Saying that what dropped off was when I was explaining about my son and and the coach, and I was saying,
oh, the quote.
Yeah, the coach told him, too many people worry about the getting the ball in the rim and looking at the rim. He said that when you get the mechanics right, you'll get the rim right. So get the mechanics down. That was Coach Henfield. He said, get the mechanics. And my son has focused on that immensely. And sometimes when he's shooting and not shooting well, I said, you know what you're doing? And you know what he'd say? He'd say, yeah, I'm not doing the mechanics right. And so I'm saying, if you get the process right, we'll get more of the results that we are seeking. We have some more text here. Nice.
About the process. So you, in your opinion, and based upon your expertise and your experience, really, is the process of parliament in the country right?
Not all of it. Not all of it. Some of it, not all of it. There are things definitely in our, let me give you an example. In our parliamentary system, the accountability of cabinet ministers and the government is not adequately addressed. Not. There should be a much more rigorous committee system in the parliament to require accountability on the part of cabinet members to the House of Assembly. It should be much more rigorous. So no, that's not fixed enough, right? And there are other things that I could point to. So some things work well and some things are fixed, but there are other things that need to be fixed for sure. We have to take our last break. You're listening to Seeing Your Host. I'm here with Mrs. Leslie Archer. When we come back, we will continue our discussion. We'll be back after this break.
Are you ready? August 23rd at 9 a.m., you can begin investing with as little as $25 in an international technology company and an international food franchise on awacx.com. What do you need to get started? Just go to awacx.com to sign up by clicking on Start Investing. So what are you waiting for? Let's go! AWACX, moving people from consumers to owners. Regulated by the Securities Commission of the Bahamas.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Enjoy an elevated mobile experience with BTC giving you
unlimited talk for the best conversations,
unlimited data for all your online fun,
and unlimited roaming to stay connected while overseas.
For just $50 per line.
Unlock unlimited mobile talk, data, and roaming when you sign up for BTC Superfast Fiber Internet with speeds starting at 100 megabits per second. Enjoy more great savings and value. Upgrade or sign up today. Visit any BTC store or btcbahamas.com. Conditions apply.
The water and Sewage Corporation advises customers and residents of Corder Avenue between Market Street and Blue Hill Road that the corporation will be carrying out improvement works for 15 days from August 18, 2021 to September 6, 2021 from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily. As a result, customers should note that they may experience some interruption in water supply, and residents and the general public should note that there will be interruptions in traffic flow around the work area daily, resulting in traffic diversions. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused as they work to improve their level of service.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back to these remaining moments of the show. I'm Shafar Valang, your host. You're listening to Z Live, and I'm here with Mrs. Leslie Archer of the Government and Public Policy Institute, and we were talking about our parliamentary system, which has been, strained in recent times by some of the events of today and other days in the country, but it is what it is. We have some text here from you I want to read. This text says, what was the purpose of today's exercise by the prorogation of Parliament to end the session of Parliament? To end it. Now, why? You got to ask the people who ended it. This text says, Mr. Lang, I posit that the speaker simply called a speaker-generated town hall meeting to posture that he has the people's interests at heart. The only thing worse than this is how we waste money when we generate an opinion poll via the internet. Okay? This text says, Parliament doesn't only pass laws, it debates laws. Okay. The idea of allowing common people to have a say in laws being debated in a formal session sounds very reasonable and a great step toward representation and transparency that the people clearly don't have. Okay, man, I'm not going to argue with you on that. Hey, just don't call it a parliament. Hey, it ain't parliament. That's reality, right? But hey, knock yourself out. It says, good afternoon. When Mr. Hannah's image goes on the $100 bill, where will the Queen image go? Will it go on another bill? I don't know. I don't know at all. I don't know. She's already on a couple of bills anyways, eh? Shivago, I never got any clarity on what date the new emergency orders were extended to expire. Can you offer any clarity? Wasn't it August 26th? I think so. Check for me. I thought it was that. It's Texas, Mr. Lang, I'm confused. Please help me. Make it make sense. Was the two proclamations read by the COP intended to remove the speaker? And if so, can he be removed? Answer is no. The speaker cannot be removed by a prorogation of parliament. Cannot. All that the prorogation does is ends a session of parliament. And just as the end of a session of parliament doesn't end the life of a member of parliament, it doesn't end the life of a speaker. All it does is it kills the agenda, the work before parliament. The speaker remains the speaker. You want to end a speaker's term without any question? You got to dissolve parliament. That's it. But that wasn't what happened. So don't be confused. The answer is no. The prorogation of parliament did not remove the speaker. Okay?
I guess everybody is just trying to figure out why.
I'm sure. Sir, I'm sorry, but from Selinden and crew copied that constitution, they and all of you were in government since then have failed this country and every Bahamian there within. We are not truly independent and all of you have failed us. All of you have been quite happy. All of you have been quite happy and content swearing, and you all see nothing wrong with it. Now, I think I know this voice because I heard this on today, or maybe I don't. And let me tell you something, my friend. I couldn't care less about that. I can be honest with you. Think of me whatever you wish. Swearing allegiance to the Queen as a matter of mechanics has nothing to do. Nothing to do with whether you pass good laws in the Parliament of the Bahamas, and all that is excuse making. All that is for you is trying to find some fault, something to hang your hat on. Why don't you tell me, rather than talk about this, tell me what laws we passed in the Parliament that you suggest don't help this country? Did not the Parliament of the Bahamas pass a penal code so that you can know when you rape a woman, when you steal from somebody, that those things are wrong and there are penalties to be paid by doing so? And you're telling me that that having been done was wrong? That's what you're saying to me.
Oh, Lord.
Absolute nonsense. Listen, nonsense. Nonsense. Could the Queen have stopped us from passing those? When we sought to amend our constitution, was the Queen involved with causing us not to amend the constitution to give women equal rights as men? Did the Queen do that? Is it the Queen that gets in the Parliament of the Bahamas and tell us, do not give $1 million to sports. Do not make junior achievement a program in the Bahamas. Does the Queen do that? All the immigration laws in the country, all the criminal codes and all the financial services laws in the country, everything that governs the institutions in our country, you are telling me all that was nonsense. And all of that was because we went in there and swear allegiance to the Queen? Y'all stop raising red herrings, man, and let's deal with the substantive issues in this country. If you want to find something that caused people to rally behind you, I can tell you one thing, it ain't that one. Because for all the years you are telling us we've been doing nonsense, who has been electing these people to Parliament? Sir Lyndon couldn't put himself in Parliament. Ingram couldn't put himself in Parliament. Christie couldn't put himself in Parliament. You want to blame us because you are scared to talk to people. You don't have the courage to say to people they are foolish and they fail the country.
Mr. Lang.
This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. You called Miss Archer a policy fellow, yeah? Yes, I did. This text says, the bigger question is, why did the PM advise the governor to prorogue the House if the proposed open parliament was irrelevant? You got to ask the prime minister. I don't know if the prime minister did it to end the open parliament. It just happened at the same time. Say, Lang, awesome indeed. I tell the young boys at Freedom Farm, don't look at the big salary. However, read the stories behind the scenes. Derek Jeter of the Yankees taking 250 ground balls after practice ended. The extra work ethic that took him to the Major League Baseball. Dynamic today again, Lang. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely, man. Get the mechanics right. Get the process right, and the results will come. This text says, Mr. Lang, was the speaker right legally? And if the House was not prorogued, would that have made it mandatory for all parliamentarians to show up to the meeting? That's a good question. That's a good question. That is a very good question. The question is, was the House supposed to reconvene today? What's the House supposed to reconvene today? Because the House only convenes, and therefore members of Parliament have an obligation to come to it when it is due to convene. Was it supposed to be reconvened today? The Speaker can't summon you to the House like that outside of the constitutional provisions, you know. This text says, while the prorogation does not remove the Speaker, it allows Parliament to have a vote to do so.
Oh,
okay. We'll see if you think so. This is interesting because let me explain to some of you, because I don't know where you get that information from. Let me explain to you how the Speaker is elected. Let me explain to you. This is all the Constitution says about how the Speaker of the House is elected. All right? It says...
You looking through the Constitution?
Yeah, I had it already. I had it already, because it talks about the Speaker being elected at the opening of Parliament, right? When Parliament reconvenes following upon an election. So the Speaker isn't elected when the Parliament is prorogued. That's not true. There's one time you elect your Speaker. There's a couple of times you elect your Speaker at the beginning of the new session of Parliament, and that's what the Constitution says. And then if the Speaker resigns, you can then elect a new one. Listen, this is Article 50. I'm going to read the whole thing. When the House of Assembly first meets, after any general election, and before it proceeds to dispatch of any, shall, in accordance with such procedures as may be prescribed by the rules of procedure of the House, elect from among the members who are not ministers or parliamentary secretaries, one member to be the Speaker of the House of Assembly, and another member to be the deputy speaker. And if the office of speaker or deputy speaker falls vacant at any time before the next dissolution of the House of Assembly, the House shall, as soon as practicable, proceed in like manner to fill the vacant office, as only provided it becomes vacant. Okay? A person shall vacate the office of speaker or deputy speaker, here's the circumstances. A, if he ceases to be a member of the House of Assembly. Is Mr. Modri still a member of parliament?
Yes.
Okay. If he is appointed to be a minister of parliamentary secretary, has he been appointed a minister of parliamentary secretary?
Yes.
No, he's not.
No.
He hasn't been appointed. Right? if he announces the resignation of his office, has he announced his resignation?
No, I know that answer.
Okay. And lastly, in the case of the deputy speaker, if he's elected to be speaker, has any of those things happened? No.
No.
That's just a prorogation of parliament? Come on, man. Come on. let's abide by the facts, please. This text is Mr. Martin saw. Lord help us. 300,000 Haitians. Don't forget them. Anything less, maybe a plum all the time. I don't know if you have anything that you want to add in closing.
No, thank you again, Mr. Lang, for the opportunity. Right. And thank you, callers, for calling in and texting.
Oh, boy. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for joining us today. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host, and I was here with Mrs. Leslie Archer. I trust and hope you have a great evening. Guess what? Nahaja Black is up next. God bless you, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.